We heard the story of Zechariah already today, and now I am sharing with you the gospel reading from the gospel according to Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and I invite you to listen for the word of God. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trochonicus, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John of Zechariah in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." May God bless this reading of his holy word to us today. Amen. Recently, I was at the Watchung Post Office to buy some Christmas stamps, and this time of year, I always ask for a specific type of stamp, one that has a nativity scene on it, one that maybe has, something of the Christmas story itself, and they are always lovely. And this year, I received stamps that are a picture of a wonderful painting, Madonna and Child. The painting is from the Renaissance painter Francesco Bacciacca, 1523, courtesy of the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Kind of makes the price of stamps seem kind of okay when you get a beautiful stamp anymore. I know they're going up, so get your forever stamps now before the first of the year, right? So I got to thinking, though, what if someone came up with the idea of a Christmas stamp with John the Baptist on it? I mean, John the Baptist is such an important figure in that whole arc of Advent and Christmas, and there's a possibility or not. Visually, I have the sense that John the Baptist was rather wild-looking. For me, it's sort of like he might have hair reminiscent of, say, Albert Einstein, sticking straight out. Perhaps his face was maybe sort of like that Yiddish actor, Fiva Sfinkel. Does anyone know Fiva Sfinkel? I think you do. He had many roles, and he had played many roles, especially in Fiddler on the Roof. He was a real character actor, had that kind of face. So I picture John the Baptist looking a little wild and crazy because the scripture tells us a little bit about him. He was in the wilderness, after all. He wore a tunic of camel's hair, leather belt around his waist. You can think of that as sort of the shabby chic, maybe, of fashion. Think of it. A postage stamp representing local color from out of the wilderness at Jesus' time. Would it be a bestseller? Hey, what about Christmas cards? Can't you just imagine? Christmas card, John the Baptist on the front, and then inside would say something like, I was going to send you some locust and wild honey, but even Whole Foods didn't know what I was talking about. Merry Christmas anyway. I don't think I'd advise printing a lot of those. And yet, this is who the scripture tells us to pay attention to if we want to pay attention to Jesus coming. And his message isn't just time sensitive, timely, it is timeless. It is timeless. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand, he says. And he shouts it, apparently, to anyone who would have been in earshot. And in basic terms, this means you have to get out of the way those things that are in your way if you are going to follow the way, Jesus. Now, you and I, you know, I know we know we can't argue. We can't argue with that message. It's sort of like that crummy tasting medicine you have to have, and you want a spoonful of sugar with it so it'll go down more easily. But you know it's medicine that will help you be better, you know? Deep down, you know that you need to hear what we are reminded of time and time and time again. But while that's true, the packaging that that medicine comes in, well, it's sort of out there. It's sort of kind of out there. I mean, where is John the Baptist's three-piece suit for credibility, right? Where is his desire to make a really good, responsible impression? Where is his way of really wanting to make friends and influence people? Is this the kind of person who, by the looks of things, would even rate a photo shoot on the outside of a cereal box? No, not really. I wonder something, you know? I wonder if sometimes we judge the message that God has for us by whether we think the message comes in, quote, the right way, or the surefire proven way, or the acceptable way, or the way that we personally prefer. I mean, do we ever dismiss what it is we really need to hear because, well, we're just not all that crazy about the container that it comes in? Sit with that for a while, right? This time of year, my mind often goes to St. Francis, 12th century. We're kind of going back today. 12th century St. Francis. And you may or may not know that it was St. Francis who actually inspired all the nativity scenes and tableaus and creches that we have for today. It was St. Francis. There's that beautiful prayer we associate with St. Francis, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Most people think that probably did not come directly out of the mouth of St. Francis, but it's a wonderful association to make nonetheless. Be that as it may, he was the first person that created what we know today as the nativity scene. He really was. And the thing about St. Francis is this. The average person would have looked at his life with great reservation, truly, truly this is the case. Let's start with when he was a teenager. He was rather reckless. He would run around town. He was like a ringleader of a lot of other teenagers, and they were always getting in trouble with the authorities. I don't know if you knew that. He went to war. After the war, he was in prison, and it was a dank prison with rats. It was an awful experience. He spent about a year there before his father paid ransom for him to get out. And that prison experience, it changed Francis. It changed Francis from being this kind of wild and crazy kid who ran around all the time, probably drove his mother nuts, couldn't keep busy. But once he was in prison and he was out of prison, he found himself at the edge of the city, outside the city walls, and he was there in an abandoned church. And he found himself praying day and night. After that, he took the way of Jesus so radically. In fact, he went around after selling all his possessions, you know, vowing poverty. He went around wearing a filthy tunic, a rope around his waist. He would be barefoot. He went around the streets, and this is what is said of him. He would preach, quote, and dance, weep, make animal sounds, strip to his underwear, and play the zither. Now that really is a way to draw people in, right? There you go. He believed that all were God's creatures. He preached to the birds. He preached outside to the birds. Imagine walking by and seeing this man preaching to the birds. People regarded him as mad. This is St. Francis. People regarded him as dangerous. Quote, they threw dirt at him, and women locked themselves in their houses. But St. Francis believed in Jesus. St. Francis believed in the way of Jesus, and it was taking on poverty, not owning possessions, connecting with those on the fringes and on the outskirts of society. He had a great affinity for helping lepers, we read. He literally lived out all that stuff that John the Baptist represented. And John the Baptist gave as his message, you've got to get a whole bunch of stuff out of the way in order to receive the one who is to come the way, Jesus. So would you have been tempted to dismiss St. Francis during that time? And would you have not been, you know, really crazy or personally crazy about the container of the message that he brought? I mean, really. But yet in 1223, he is credited with staging the first nativity. He created it in a cave in the town of Greccio, and he made sure there was hay and animals and a manger, and he would preach about the babe in Bethlehem and invite people to gaze upon the manger. And then eventually this whole style at Christmas time just spread and went throughout Europe, and at one point whole villages were invited to reenact the nativity scene. All because of crazy St. Francis. Just as an aside, one of his early biographers, Bonaventure, he says that it was thought that the hay that was used in that first nativity was miraculous, and then it could be used to cure cattle of diseases and pestilences. Little side note of interest. But we think about what we would have experienced at that time. We think about now today our Christmas Eve service, our 5 o'clock family service, where we invite the children to dress up in the costumes of the Nativity, and we have this wonderful tableau. And I don't know about you, but if you've been at that service, and I used to lead it, and now Michael leads the service, it's just a wonderful experience, because no matter how the kids are, whether they're kind of squirmy and restless, or whether they stand there with these wide, wonderful eyes of wonder, or they can't figure out what in the world they're supposed to be doing, but it just seems like this is the thing to do on Christmas Eve, no matter what. It's just a way of really experiencing what is important about that night. And for me, you know, it brings it all together. Again, we have St. Francis to thank for all of that. So I encourage you to have openness and just to look for God's messengers who come in all shapes and all sizes with all kinds of backgrounds. As the scripture says in Hebrews, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels unawares. And that messenger you entertain may be all about letting you know about some big things, you know, some important things like what needs to be just swept clean in your life as you go on your way searching for and looking for and getting ready for and finally finding your footing on the way. May God bless this word to us today. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for giving us messengers in life. They come to us in all shapes and all sizes, young and old and in between ages. We thank you for the beauty of people that influence our lives and help us to have open spirits to hear your word to us through them. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.